Is that working all right? Good stuff. Right, let's start with a quick prayer. Father, thank you again for this opportunity to share your word. I thank you, Lord, that you'll work through me, show me, guide me as I humble myself to what you want to say through me today. Amen. Okay, I'm start with an additional note that I got given about 5 minutes ago. But you know what? The world in which our children, grandchildren are being brought up in is a very different world even from when I was a kid. So, I mean, we go back in the generations, but goodness me. And I've been very conscious of, you know, what the boys hear, what they're exposed to, if we just let the world roll with them, you know. And I've consciously made decisions and had to find out new Christian bands, things that are relevant for the children, give them exposure and spending time with them, going through all Bible stuff with them, you know, not just on a Sunday morning, albeit we do, throughout the week, really, really intently, because there's this balance and this shift that's going on in life, and it isn't nice in so many ways, you know, it really isn't. Jesse's just written this out this morning, 7-year-old, and he's written it from his heart of two songs that are on his mind, and the title of one of them is God is Good by Jesse Wilcox. God is good all the time. If you say he's not, then you're lying. Come the rain or the shine, God is good all the time. And the next one is, I'm going to have a good day. I mean, come on. If there's a choice that you make in the morning, there's this song that we play, which is, I'm going to have a good day. Yeah, I am going to have a good day. I'm going to have a good day, no matter what they say. God, the God who made the universe, knows me by my name. If you just stopped at that point, and this morning, take that, and had nothing else, he is good all the time. The one who created knows you by your name. Well, you could walk out of here, because that in its own right is a nugget that we would never fully understand, even if we stewed on it all the time. The God, the Creator God, knows you by your name. He knows me. Take it personally. He knows me by my name. So it's going to be a good day. No, it's going to be great. I have everything that I need, so it's going to be a good day. The birds are singing praise. It's going to be a good day. But point I'm trying to make here is that the little man over there, this is what is stirring in his heart when he's coming to church on the morning. He's remembering these words and these songs. So it doesn't change for us and the importance of what we expose ourselves to. You know, whether it's be the news every morning, whatever it might be, you know, as we've just heard, you know, the turmoil that's in the world that we're in right now, it's just crazy. It's crazy. And if we feed off these things, it's not a bad thing to know them. It's not a bad thing to have an opinion of them, I'm sure. But it's also a good thing to remind ourselves that, you know, we're not here for forever. This is just our stop point. Our residence really is heaven. You know, we are here. You know, Jesus said that, you know, we are in the world, but we are not of the world. You know, we are in the world, but not of the world. This morning, actually, is more going to be a testimony story that I just want to share with you. And actually, some of the learnings that I had from that as a personal experience a few months ago. And I think, you know, it challenges a lot for me personally and my walk. And I thought, you know, I'll share it. So we'll see. And it starts off with the regard in the picture that picture that you paint for what you want to happen in your life. That could be as small as you know, the next house you want, or the school you want your child to go to, or the next job that you want, or, you know, whatever it might be, however it is, there's a picture that you paint about perfection, about how you think want things to work out. This is how I think the day should work out. I'm going here, then I'm doing this, then I'm doing that, doing the other. We don't make an allowance for the potential traffic jam that happens on the M5, or the fact that the person that's supposed to be there doesn't turn up, or, you know, someone wakes up and they're not feeling very well. That's the picture you paint is the picture that you believe. But you know what? God has a picture as well. And the more we try to define our own definition of how our day pans out, and the more it goes away from the line which we've constructed and we want to happen, the more frustrated, the more angry, the more annoyed we can be, because it's not along our picture. And this story is a little bit about that. It's a little bit about that picture that we paint, that we think that the way things should work out, because that they should, and that's the right thing to do, and that should be the end result. And when it doesn't kind of go that way. And it's around a fireplace. It's around my dad's fireplace. He was having, as an 80-year-old guy, he finally decided that he wanted to strip out his old fire and go back to his roots, that he had an open burner where he could put his kettle on the top of it and, you know, enjoy the flames of a fire. Who would deny him that? You know, that was kind of the thing. So he placed his order with this company, and they gave him a particular date for when they were going to deliver, which was about a 2 to 3 month window, which was longer than what he thought, but that was fine. We worked with it, and then basically the day before he was having the fitting, he got a phone call to say that the guy wouldn't be there. He double booked and he needed to be a week later. And in fact, it turned out that he needed to be 3 weeks later. So, okay, we go along with that. It's not the timeline in which we wanted, but we can manage. Again, the day before the 3 week delay, the guy rang and basically moved it back another 2 weeks. And it started to become a little bit kind of crazy. My sister, my eldest sister, I have three sisters, and as loving as my eldest sister is, she can also, how would we put it, Gemma? She lets people know sometimes if they're, you know, they're not being dealt with the quite way, and maybe doesn't necessarily take a breather before. But in all fairness, at this point now, my dad hasn't been very well as well, so he was going through a little bit of a rough stage with his health. So it kind of added a little bit more kind of emphasis on getting this sorted out, because, you know, he's 80 and, you know, he's not feeling very well, and come on, stop messing around. It was my dad, you know, take it if it was ourselves, but not so much because it was him. On the morning, you know, we'd of course, at this point, you've got to also remember that the house is preparation for it, because he can't, he's putting cloths down and doing all things, and, you know, anyway, on the morning that the guy was supposed to be there, after now a huge delay, he didn't show up again, and my sister called him, and they were having arguments, and it was all going off, not very nice. We decided to go and look for someone else, and couldn't find anybody in the timeline that was then going to fit, so we almost, it was a case of having to stick with him again. And we got another one booked in the following week or the week after, I forget the exact timeline. But it just so happened on this morning that I was heading over to my dad's. It was a Tuesday morning, and I was going to work from his house. It was nothing to do with the fireplace being fitted that day, but it was purely that. I got over there early morning, and about 10 o'clock, he was due at 11, and about 10 o'clock, my eldest sister and my dad, as we do when we're around there, we pray and just bring people to the Lord. We often just take communion as a family, and we started praying for people, and this guy is called Brian, this firefighter, he owns the business, and I made the crazy statement of, shall we play for Brian? And bearing in mind, my sister at this point, if you know, if the cartoon characters, when the blood kind of does this, she was kind of already here, you know. And I said, shall we play for this guy? And she kind of looked, you know, as a Christian herself, we go, but the reality is that she's right in the thick of this, You know, we all know, we all can take, you know, forget the context of this story, but we've all got our own stories, I'm sure, where those things may well have come to a point when you're cross. So it became a difficult conversation. And I said to her, no, I said, let's just pray for him. And, you know, we did. And for me, what that did, it changed something in here that I couldn't change in here. I had a natural anger and frustration for this person because of what he'd done to my dad over a 4-month period of time by now. Just lying, 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 lying. And sure enough, 11 o'clock came and went. Half 11, he rang up and said he'd had a puncture and he was not going to get round till about 3 or 4 o'clock that day. So I said to my sister, you know, she'd cook me some shepherd's pie. And I said, why don't you cook him some shepherd's pie? No, that was too far. I do a prayer, but I'm not cooking him any food. No way on this planet. So I was pushing it a little bit here. Anyway, it came to around 3 o'clock. And my sister had gone and I was still working. And sure enough, there was a knock at the door. And this guy with his bucket, a few tools, comes in to the house for the first time. You know, this is like lie, 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 and he's there. And he looks at me and I look at him. And I know what he expected because, you know, all the sons come round, you know, he's going to deal with this kind of thing. He said to me, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. Look, I'm doing the job for free. I don't want paying for it. I'm doing the job for free. I said, sorry, what was your name? He said, Brian. I said, Steve. I said, I'm just working from my dad's at the moment. I said, no worries. I said, no problem. He was, I, to be honest with you, I hate this job. I hate it. I can't stand it. I don't know why I'm doing it. I've got no... It's just going off. And I just let him talk. I said, well, whatever. I said, can I get you a cup of tea, a cup of coffee? He said, yeah, okay, fair enough, you know. So he said, I'm not going until I've finished. I'll be here till 8 o'clock tonight. He says, I'll get it done. He says, but I'm not being paid for it. I said, I'll do it for free. So I went and sat in the kitchen with Dad. I made him a cup of tea, went in. And honestly, something happened to me. I've had it before, but I had this overriding feeling of sadness, but a longingness for this guy, a lovingness, should I even say. Something came over me that I physically felt for this guy. I was looking at him through the glass window, just into the front room. Oh man, it was incredible. Something where you should have naturally had anger was replaced with something that was just there for a longing to see this guy in the kingdom. And I said to Dad, I really feel something for this guy. I said, I really, really do. I started welling up, and my dad, I said, and he wasn't, but I just said, I really do. I said, I've got to speak to him. He comes walking in to fill his bucket up into the kitchen, and he said, I said, how's things anyway? How's things in life? He said, terrible. He said, one of my best mates committed suicide 2 weeks ago. He said he had an alcohol issue. We all knew it. He said he stopped at Christmas, started again, and he just killed himself. He said, and we're all really struggling as his mates because we know we could have done something. He said, and I lost my dad just before Christmas. He said, and we didn't end right. He says, and that's like... He says, oh, my ex-missus, he says, she's taking the kids. Won't let me see the kids. So basically, boom, boom, boom. You know, it was like, life is, this is my package and this is what I've got.
talking about a fireplace, you start talking about a few months delay here and there, and you just think, wow,
let's put that in perspective.
I said, because he then started saying he doesn't know how life is worth living. You know, he starts talking about the reality of life and where it's really heading for him. And I thought, if this guy walks out of here today, there's a very good chance that, A, you know, he won't be around for long. You could see where he was at. His business is crumbling around him. He can't keep his customer success. He's got the likes of my sister, probably times 20, on his back. And he just has had too much. He's had too much. So I told him about Jesus. I said, I know a way out for you, mate. I said, Jesus, he is the way. I said, he died for you. I said, he came to this earth. I said, he came to this earth and he died a perfect man, sacrifice for you. I said, so that you could be saved, you'd be born again. And I said, you can turn your life around with the help, with his help. And he was filling this bucket up at the time and he sort of stopped the tap and went, I had a dream the other night. He said, and I reckon I saw him.
I was like, goodness, all right, bad news.
Well, he goes, I did. He goes, something was there. He goes, there was all this dark, all going on around my bed. He goes, I saw it in the night. It was like whirly horrible. He said, and then there was this guy with a book and it was light and I just woke up. He goes, I don't know who that was. He goes, but I reckon that might be that Jesus. I don't know what he was doing, he said, but I knew there was something going on. I said, okay, well, look, I don't know, I can't verify all that, but what I do know is this. I said, you know, you can be saved. He's like, well, okay, well, and it didn't, yeah, he carried on with his job. And I thought, I've said what I needed to say, you know, I've done what I needed to do. About 10 minutes later, he opens the door and says, so what did he do for me? What did he do for me? That's it. And he came to the Lord. He gave his life to the Lord. He welled up. He just breathed like this. You know, received Jesus as his Lord and Saviour. And carried on with the job. Finished the job. And I gave him some books, a bit of literature. He asked a few more questions, sat down and was interested and was just, he said, he just feels a release. I said, things are going to change for you in your life. I said, this isn't by an encounter that was set up by our family to make something happen. I said, this was God appointed, God aligned. I said, and all we've done, it was just fulfill what he wanted us to do. I said, so just, you know, just pray. I went to get home and he prays. I said, I will. And I'll read these books. And, you know, we paid him. And, you know, on top of paying him, we gave him a healthy tip as well. Completely adverse to what we could. He didn't want paying. We paid him and gave him some more. And he did a sterling job, absolute sterling job. And, you know, the story in its right is not in any way at all, and I really mean this, not in any way at all, to try to build what I've fulfilled through the Lord up. It isn't, I promise you that. Because would have been, for one time it happened, there will have been 10 times I missed it. And sometimes it's a case of those missing ones and go. But what I take away from it, and what we as a family have taken away from it,
is our picture didn't have that guy being saved in it. Our picture had the job being done in a timely manner and him getting out of there and moving on with his life. That was our timeline and our picture. Sometimes, no, in fact, all the time, there is a God picture.
All the time, there is an opportunity to see those challenges that we are currently faced with and humble ourselves to the position that actually our picture might prevent the fulfillment of what he wants to do in each one of our lives. And that's a challenge. It is a challenge. And it takes us to be humble. It takes us to the point of saying, I'm prepared to let go of that stronghold or that belief system or that something that I've got that's preventing me from just being able to say, Lord, your will be done, not mine. Each day. Lord, your will be done. And even to the point where we say, Lord, I will to will your will. Yeah, there is a scripture, I think it's in Galatians, that says that he gives us the desires to fulfill his will. And he also empowers us to be able to. So it's not like he stands alone and says, right, go on, go and fulfill my will. He actually can give us the desire and then help us to fulfill that desire. It's with us all the time. It's with us through the whole process. It's never you stand out all completely alone. He's there with us. So to choose to will his will is a start point. If nothing else, if we don't feel it, that will. If we don't feel that, like, actually I can say, Lord, your will be done, but not mine. Yeah, but not in that area because I'm concerned, or not because, you know, I like that bit, or I don't want, you know. If we can just be so open to the fact that allow him to do what he wants us to do in each one of our lives, he can bring about. He it enables him, it empowers him through us as conduits to be able to reach these people in our lives. Reach these family members that seem so distant, that seem unbreakable, that seem so far from God, that actually there is a way through. There is a God picture and a God way for these people in each one of our lives that we're in connection with, the untouchables. And then the ones that we don't even know, like Brian, the fireplace man. There are ways to these people. But we have to let go and we have to forgive. And that kind of is almost the point here. If we turn to Luke 23:32. Luke 23:32. Yeah, so we just go to the point of the cross where two others, both criminals, were led out to be executed with him. When they came to the place called the Skull, they nailed him to the cross, and the criminals were also crucified, one on his right and one on his left. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And the soldiers gambled for his clothes by throwing the dice. The crowd watched, and the leaders scoffed. He saved others, they said. Let him save himself, if he's really God's Messiah, the chosen one. The soldiers mocked him too by offering him a drink of sour wine. They called out to him, if you are king of the Jews, save yourself. A sign was fastened to the cross above him with those words, this is the king of the Jews. One of the criminals hanging beside him scoffed. So you're the Messiah, are you? Prove it by saving yourself. And us too, while you're at it. But the other criminal protested. Don't you fear God, even when you have been sentenced to die? We deserve to die for our crimes, but this man hasn't done anything wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus replied, I assure you today, you will be with me in paradise. I went through that in my mind about what would be going on from the criminal's perspective, hanging on the cross. And he will have seen and witnessed from an angle everything that's going on here, this transaction. And when Jesus called out, the most craziest thing that you could say at the time, forgive them. At the state in which he was at, he could still cry, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And those words, I believe, were the words that probably hit this criminal's heart so, so severely. Because he will have seen what had gone on and how he'd been coped with. And yet, as a result of it, that guy was able to see the light of the world and be saved. So, in closing then, the story that I've shared, and I hope it's one that's translatable to you in different areas. I believe there will be crossovers, and I hope there is. But nevertheless, I just want to encourage you all. These times that we're in right now, I know in my spirit we are in the end times. And I'm not an end time shelter in respect of trying to predict. But I, like never before, I can truly tell you in my spirit that I know the times that we're in. And I really, truly believe we are right at this very end of this time. And as Christians, we've got to see outside of the day-to-day things that we can get drawn into. All the politics and things that are going on. I understand there is a position for Christians, understand that. But we've also, overridingly more than anything else, understand that we are in the world, but we are not of this world. And there are things that are going to take place in this world that we all don't like, don't agree with, and don't want to happen. But what we can do and how we can best influence is to remain with that humble view that, Lord, your will be done, not mine. And if we do that, he can operate through us. The same will be said, if we got at my will done with this fireplace, it would have been done, and we'd had one less soul in the kingdom, potentially. But by the pain and all the suffering of being delayed by not having a stupid fireplace in place at the time we wanted it, there is one extra soul that will be in heaven. And for me, that is why we are here. So, Lord, thank you for this time and this opportunity. I thank you for each and every one of us. I thank you, Lord, that you empower us to be able to do your will, but you also give us the desire as well. And I pray, Lord, that we can, you can show us. You can show us each one of our lives areas in which we can humble ourselves, maybe even, dare I say, change. But Lord, you're not forceful, God. You are a loving God, and you lead us by love. And Lord, I pray as we open ourselves up, as we forgive those people that we would rather not think about because we can't forgive them because of what's gone on in the past. I pray, Lord, that you empower us to be able to re-look in those areas and forgiveness can flow. That we can understand how much we are forgiven so that we're empowered to be able to forgive. Lord, I speak favour, I speak blessings over this congregation, each one of us and the families around. I pray for safety. In these times that we're in, Lord, I pray that we can be your lights. To draw people
to you and to your kingdom. Claim each and every one of them, each and every one loved ones and family members that don't know the Lord. I pray for a softening of their hearts towards the kingdom. I pray for a turning, Lord, a turning towards you. That these people in this congregation will be ready to respond and ready to be what you need them to be. Despite historic things that have gone on, despite pain points that might have happened and gone on before, I pray that we're ready and we're willing. And because of you, Lord, we are able. In Jesus' name, amen.